And it's time once again for Heart to Heart, and let's welcome back to our studios Jackie LeBeau. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave. What a beautiful day we have today. I love it. Coming down the road, it was bright and sunny after those couple days of rain. I'm always a sunshine person. You know that.
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody. I have a super fun guest for today's Heart to Heart radio show. And among other talents and modalities, JoJo is, it's actually JoJo Grisby. And she's from Free Rein Massage. And among her other talents, she's an animal masseuse, which I have to tell you, as the mommy to three dogs at my house, I think that's just wonderful. Since 2010, Jo has been performing massages on dogs, cats, and horses. She sees dog and cat patients at Yellow Springs Veterinary Clinic in Frederick, Maryland. And for horses and or dogs and cats that are unable to travel, she'll meet you at your home or your stable. Jo also has become a Healing Touch for Animals certified practitioner this year. She uses this modality along with massage therapy to help balance physical and emotional health, as well as the energy centers and fields of your dog, cat, or horse, all the while promoting relaxation so the body can begin healing and restoring itself to optimal health. Jo also uses high-quality essential oils to enhance the benefits of massage and energy healing. Jo's lifelong love of all animals manifests itself in her healing touch. And we all know how great we feel after a massage. So massage therapy can do wonders, not only for humans, but for our pets as well. So good morning, Jo. Hey, Dave, are we on? Hello, Jo, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay!
Hello.
Hey, I'd also like to invite our callers this morning to call in if they have questions for me or Jo, and share your experiences with animal massage and healing touch. And the number here at the studio to call is 717-637-0052. So, hey, Jo, I love that you're doing all these wonderful things for animals. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did this all come about for you?
Okay, well, thanks for having me, Jackie. I'm very honored for the invitation. So for me, I started out in my early 20s working in a veterinarian office. It was a very small practice. And I got to grow along with the practice because they had just opened their doors probably 6 months when I came along. So it was a great opportunity there for me. And I have been in the veterinarian field, same veterinary clinic, for now 27 years. And it was on my 20th anniversary working here that my fabulous employer wanted to do something really special for me. So they asked me, you know, what is it that we could do to celebrate your 20th anniversary? And so I thought about it for a little while, and for the longest time, I wanted to go to canine equine massage school. Mm-hmm. So I threw that out there, and he said, all right, you're going.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, he wanted to, you know, he was more than willing to start offering canine massage here in the practice. So it was, you know, also going to hopefully benefit the practice. So I jumped on it, and off I went and came back. And, you know, it was just something I also wanted to learn for my animals to do for my horses and dogs. And so I didn't really know if it was going to be like a business venture.
Right, but you just wanted to know how to do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I just kind of, you know, did it kind of on the side, which is basically how I do it now, in addition to still working in the vet office. So as I was doing these massages and growing along with it and learning the finesse and the art of it, because, you know, when you hit a sore spot on an animal, they don't know, you know, hang in there, it's going to feel better in a minute.
Yeah, you can't say, you know how they always say that deep tissue is like, you know, it's got to hurt a little and then it'll feel better. And it's like,
yeah,
they don't know that. They just know, ouch.
Yeah, they move away from you.
Uh-huh.
They're like, no, thank you. That's not how mom pets me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you know, I've worked along with it and, you know, felt like I was, you know, achieving good things. But there was something that I was feeling as I was doing the massage, and I didn't know what it was. You know, through my hands, you know, I could definitely feel temperature changes, you know, if there was an inflamed area or a cool, stagnant area. but I didn't really know what it was that I was feeling. And so I went and had body work done on myself to kind of really figure out what this is. And I came across a wonderful lady who really helped steer me towards energy medicine. I had it done all myself through her and could not believe the difference it made for myself.
Wow. Now, what did you have done? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I had craniosacral.
Oh, I love craniosacral.
Yeah. It's on my list to learn.
I know. I've always wanted to do that, too, because there's something about that one. I mean, I've done lots of different energy sessions with people, and that is the one that is the most beneficial to me.
Yeah.
Everybody's different, you know.
Everybody,
and that's good for our listeners to know. You know, you may, you know, try different things because you may feel great with Reiki, you know, or Reiki might not have a big impact on you, and healing touch does, or cranial sacral is a whole different thing. For each person is different, so you really just have to find the modality that works with your body. Don't you find that true, Joe?
Absolutely, absolutely. I sure do. So, yeah, so the lady that I went to, she didn't really work with animals, but she had friends that did, and she kind of steered me to them, and then they directed me to Healing Touch for Animals.
Oh, well, wonderful. You know, it's funny because I've done two classes in Healing Touch, too, a few years back, because I just wanted to know how to use it with my dogs. At the time, I had five. I'm now down to three. But, you know, it's not that I was going to use it professionally, but I wanted to be able to use those techniques. And, you know, and you learn so much with that, because I had taken the Healing Touch for people as well.
That's
but it's
great.
there's a little difference with the animal side, isn't there?
Absolutely. It sure is. And it all has to do with the energy field. Do you want me to explain a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's tell people what it's all about.
Yeah, so with humans, the energy field is in layers. So our energy centers, our chakras, sort of build each layer out of our body according to the chakras. And with animals, the difference is their energy field is not layered. It's integrated. So, and also their energy field is much larger, per se, than ours.
And when you say integrated, Joe, can you explain how that's how is that different from layering? What does that mean? It's like little pieces all mixed together?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So the imagery that was taught to me that helps me visualize it is that if you think of a computer screen, if it didn't have all of the graphics on it, it's all pixels, correct? It's pixelated.
Like little dots of color.
Like little dots.
Yeah.
That's what their field looks like.
Okay.
Make sense? Yeah. So ours is layered, and if, you know, if you can see the energy field, and there's people that can, it's colors. So there, each layer has a color designated to it. So you see each layer of the colors. And that's, you know, where that kind of that term, oh, your aura, you know, you look so bright today.
Yeah.
You know, it's vibrating and things like that. That's what they're referring to. But for animals, there's none of that layering. It's just all the colors. It's all, like I said, pixelated, integrated together.
So you would address that energy a little differently, I would imagine.
Yeah. And I've been told, I've not done any of the Reiki classes, but I am told that's sort of where the Healing Touch for Animals, part of how it's different than Reiki, is that it addresses that integrated energy field. Whereas Reiki doesn't so much. Not saying that Reiki's not good for animals. I know lots of people who have lots of success with Reiki with animals.
Right.
That's kind of where the difference lies. The great thing with the animals, with their integrated energy field, is that that's what makes them so much more instinctual than us. We're the only species that'll walk right into danger. I hear something downstairs. I must go see what it is.
You know? Yeah. Well, now I have to say, if my dog heard something downstairs, they would be there in a jiffy too.
Right. They'd want to check it out, but the first minute they know that, you know, But so anyway, that's the difference. But so The other thing with animals, because of the integration of the energy field, they don't hold traumas quite like we do. With our layering effect, that's where we can hold on to emotional, physical traumas, and we get blocked. Dogs certainly, or animals, I should say, do sometimes carry traumas, but it's very unlikely. It's not that as often as you see with people.
So it's sort of like with people, there's like a blanket over the trauma that holds it in place.
Yeah.
But with animals, there's more spaces for it to, I guess, be released.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'm just trying to, you know, put that in. Okay. So that makes sense to me because, you know, and animals are more in the now.
They are. They're in every moment. Yep.
So it's like they don't have to judge everything that's happening now based on something that happened before or think about how that will affect the future. They just go with what is.
Yep, yep. And what they know, you know, which is, you know, just part of their survival.
Yeah, I love that. So isn't that funny how when you think about what makes us different, you really can quantify it in different ways.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, so this is very interesting. So then as you're working with the energy, it's really sort of a shifting of their energy. And I'm going to say it's sort of like body, mind, and spirit so that it allows the body to heal itself in some ways.
That you just had the definition of healing touch for animals right there, yep.
Oh, I love it.
you nailed it.
Because, you know, it's like so it's, and I love that because, you know, practitioners aren't like, I'm healing, you know, I'm, what you're really doing is allowing the
Absolutely.
Body to have the space to heal.
Yeah, and that was the biggest, not challenge, but something I really had to be aware of with the massage. You know, it's like, you know, okay, I've got, you know your techniques, and oh, here's a trigger point, and here's what I, the technique that I do to release the trigger point. So you're kind of making it happen. Whereas with the energy healing, you have to completely surrender any of that. You can't have any kind of prenotion of how this is going to turn out or anything like that. You just have to allow it, and basically you become the conduit to allowing. So the big thing that I make sure I tell clients is that, you know, this is not a transfer of energy. I'm not going to take your pet's energy. They're not going to take mine. You know, it's nothing like that. I'm just a conduit. The energy comes through me, goes to your animal, and then it goes where it needs to. It knows what to do when it gets there. And so I will feel shifts. That's when, as a practitioner, and now a certified practitioner, I'm proud to say, I have a good understanding of what's going on with the body. I go in and I basically assess what's going on with the energy field, and then I know which techniques that will serve best in this situation for this animal. And through that, then the animal will go into a relaxed state, and that's where the healing begins.
Yeah, I love that. So it's really that there are ways to assess the energy of the animal, and that's how you make your determination where you're going.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, so is it feeling blockages or just feeling different energy in different parts of their body? Or, you know, like if you were working with an animal right now, like where would you start with your assessment?
With my assessment, so I basically look at the body language of the animal. You know, you can sense pretty quickly, you know, whether they got their energy field kind of sucked in on themselves, and that happens when we're afraid or not feeling well. Otherwise, when we're happy and joyful and sunshiny, then our energy field is vibrant and full and bright. So I can get a feel for that. Then I use, and I know it's going to sound like witchcraft, but I use a pendulum. I use a pendulum to help me assess whether or not the heart line's intact and then whether or not the chakras are open.
Okay. Well, you know, I use a pendulum, too, for many things. I mean, because it just is a way of giving us an answer that is not coming from us.
Exactly.
All right. Now, you said the har line?
Yes, the har line.
Now, what is a har line? How do you spell that?
It's H-A-R-A.
Uh-huh.
And then line. So in this practice, we work with a heart line. And this is something, as you go into the Healing Touch for Animals classes, this does not get taught to you. It'll actually level four.
Yeah, because I was going to say, though I had taken classes, this is a new term for me.
Yeah. And, you know, Carol Commodore says, you know, the reason she does this very purposely is because it's just a little too overwhelming. You know, when you're starting out to work, and I recommend everybody should take a Healing Touch either for people or for animals, at least the first class, just to learn how to take care of yourself.
Yeah, just for self-care. And because it's so easy to use the techniques.
It is. And so she purposely put it in level four just because, you know, you learn these techniques and then you have to go practice them. You have to go experience them and then you start to feel more comfortable with the energy system. So the Hara line is each living being has their own Hara line. And basically it is a vortex of energy that connects to the core crystal, to the brightest star. And it runs each person for two legates. It runs from the top of your head out to your spine, connecting down to the earth. And it is basically your vortex of energy. So your heart line then feeds your chakras, which are your energy centers in your body. There's seven major chakras. And then each joint and organ has their own minor chakra. So this is all energy-based. This is the energetic system that we're talking about. And then the chakras then will feed your energy field.
Oh, I like that. It makes me think of all the Chinese medicine, too.
It does. There's a lot of, you know, parallels.
Yeah, because we have this system that runs through our body, and we use it as well for things like acupuncture.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really makes, it's interesting that we're finding, you know, a lot of pieces of the same information in different, different systems.
I know. For me, you know, hearing these words and hearing things, and like when I sat in my first Healing Touch for Animals class, you know, and they pull out a pendulum, I'm like, oh my gosh, where have I gone? What am I gotten myself into? What am I doing? But then as I learn it, it just clicks. It just makes sense to me. It's like, well, of course, that's how you would assess the energetic system, and it just resonates. And I really feel like when I, you know, people start to ask me about it, or when I talk to clients, they move closer. They want to learn more. It's like I truly believe that it resonates with all of us on some level.
Well, you know, the pendulum is just a form of dowsing. And I have to tell you, dowsing is a very old practice, and it's very prevalent. In fact, when we built our home and we were looking for water to drill our well, you know, we had, you know, a company that came out and they did dowsing to find the best place, you know, for, you know, to strike water on our land. So if you realize that a pendulum is just another form of dowsing, I mean, this gentleman actually used a twig from a cherry tree, because cherry wood is supposed to be one of the best for dowsing for water. And it was so I know just what you mean, Joe. It's so fascinating for me to watch him walk through the woods. And it was just, you know, you hold it, and then when it dips down, you know, it's indicating to you, here's a spot.
I know. It's kind of mind-blowing, but
it's just something that, you know, you may not be acquainted with just yet, but it's not like it's that far out. It's so old.
It is. I know.
And it's so useful. I mean, that's why they're still doing it today. I mean, here we are in this modern day and age, and that was one of the tools this company that was a very scientific company was using. And so I get it. It definitely helps.
I love that example, Jackie. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, definitely do, because, you know, you're thinking, because for you, when you first got introduced to it, it's like, ooh, what is this, a pendulum? But, you know, I mean, and I've actually been to classes where people just take a thread and they tie a bolt to the bottom, because all you need is a string and a weight.
Yep.
You know, so it doesn't have to be a crystal. It doesn't have to be anything funky.
It sure doesn't.
Yeah, just go into your husband's tool chest and pull out a bolt.
Yep, and some dental floss, and off you go.
Yeah, off you go. You're good. You're good to go. So, but, you know, it's interesting because it's, you know, new things. And you know how we all are when you hear something new, we have to sort of like, you know, roll it around in our heads a little bit to make sense of it. And that's what we should do, because everybody has different takes on things and how they affect them based on their background and their knowledge base. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely. I never, you know, want to project, you know, my belief system on somebody else. I'm open to everything, and I appreciate and honor, you know, what other people think, even if they don't think what I do is the right thing. That's okay.
Well, I bet you're like me. It's like every time I work with a client, I learn something from the client.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, and that's what I like about, you know, what we do, because it's always, you know, we're always adding to our knowledge base as well. And, you know, as a person with lots of animals at home, I love that. So, Joe, let's divert just real quickly. So tell me, what do you have at home with your animal family?
My animal family consists of 3 horses, 2 dogs, and 4 cats.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You win. You win. My husband thought we were crazy when we got up to 5 dogs, which were all family. We weren't breeders or anything.
Right.
Yeah. So what kind of dogs do you have?
I have a, he's mostly cattle dog.
Yeah, I thought so in the picture. That's a great picture.
Yeah. And then my little dog, she is part Jack Russell, and we're not sure what else, perhaps Chihuahua or Rat Terrier or something, but she's all of 10 pounds, but she is the queen of the house.
Oh, betcha. I mean, oh my gosh, Jack Russell and Chihuahua mix.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a feisty one there.
Indeed I do.
And so, you know, well, we're going to have to take a quick break, so I don't want to get too into detail. And I'll just ask, Dave, you want to do the break now?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back, everybody, with more about Healing Touch for Animals and Animal Massage with JoJo Grisby. Okay, everybody. And our guest this morning is JoJo Grisby from Free Rein Massage. And we're all things animal this morning. And we're talking about her work with animal massage and also Healing Touch for Animals. So, Joe, I mean, there's so much we could talk about this morning, because I want to talk about it all. But we'll because you also do aromatherapy and other things. But we were talking about some of the things with the Healing Touch for Animals. And why don't you tell us a story about one of your, you know, good success stories with an animal?
Goodness, let's see. I guess this one that really stands out in my mind, I do a good bit of work with a local horse rescue. And they had a mare who was a bit older, and they had just gotten her. She hadn't been there with them for maybe a couple months. And she was just sort of declining. And this rescue, I just applaud them. You know, they had the vet out. They were really working with her. She had, oh my gosh, she had so much going on with her, Cushing's, arthritis, gastric.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, and she, so I came out to work on that day, and she was one of the ones I worked with, and she was struggling. So I did one of my techniques, bridging with life force, that sort of really brings that chi energy in and sends it out, kind of full force, you know, in a time when the body really needs it, for this instance. And so I checked on her the next day, and she was much brighter, and she was eating and doing pretty good.
Oh, good. Eating helps.
Yeah. Yeah, eating. That was a big thing
for
her.
Yeah, you could get her to eat. Yay.
Yeah, with those ulcers. So about a week later, they were like, you know, each day they kind of saw her dwindling, and they were going to have the vet come out the next day, and they were going to put her to rest if she hadn't started eating again. So I did a distance healing session on her, because I couldn't get out to her that day with my schedule, but I really, really wanted to do something to help her. And so, you know, one thing to keep in mind when we're doing Healing Touch for Animals, when we begin this session, and we'll talk, Jackie, a little bit more about intention,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things we set is the highest good for the animal and the highest good for ourselves as the practitioner. You know, healing is not always a cure.
Right.
Sometimes it's a release. Sometimes it's helping to transition. So for this mare, you know, if it was her time, I wanted it to be very peaceful and send her all the heart, you know, energy that I possibly could muster. And, you know, let it be what it was going to be.
Right.
But so I had a beautiful session with her. And so through distance healing, basically it's kind of like I pretend that she's there in front of me and I'm working on her. And it is through my intention that I am doing the work. So, like I said, we can talk a little bit more about that. But
right.
So I, you know, worried the next day. You know, I still held energy for her all that morning. And so I checked in around noon, and honey, they went to the barn, was eating everything in sight and wanted more.
Aww.
The vet came out, and he said, today's not the day. And she is still with us.
Wow.
Still with us. And, you know, I'm not saying that it was because of me that honey stayed here, but I think she decided to stay.
Yeah, I think she did. Well, absolutely. But I think, you know, you never know how much you can affect it just with the energy. And I love, too, Joe, that was a distant healing, because sometimes people think, how can that work? But it's all energy. It's energetic. So you can
yep.
send energy. There's no there's no mileage cut off
right.
for energy.
Yeah, it's very similar to prayer chains, you know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that believe in those.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The power of you know, healing energy, you know, that you send someone, it's huge.
It's huge. And I love that, because it just reinforces to all of us how effective it can be, and bless her heart. But I also like that you said that healing may not be in the form that we think, because for some, you know, for some beings, you know, animals and humans, it is their time. So healing could be this release, you know, that we have when we cross over, but still, you know, it's such a benefit to send the energy to make it peaceful and easy and, you know, just part of that. So I think, honey, just knowing that she had all this support, you know how people just feel better when they know they're not going it alone?
Yeah. And this mare, you know, from what the rescue understood is, you know, she'd just pretty much been left out in the field for many years, you know, with no one really tending to her. So I can only imagine when she came to this farm,
yeah,
the love that she felt from the, you know, the people there. They're just so amazing. The veterinarian was so wonderful, and he works really hard to help them. Yeah, I guess she decided that, okay.
Okay, people are good, and this is good, and I think yeah. I'll just stay here a little longer. So now you mentioned intention, and I remember, you know, from my classes in Healing Touch, that is a huge component in the Healing Touch program and techniques.
It really is, and I have to say, and this is my perspective. I'm not really going to say this is a Healing Touch philosophy. But, you know, we do know through Healing Touch for animals, we learn, you know, animals, I guess they can learn like 200 words or more, you know, of the English language. We basically depend on communicating with them through body language, right?
Well, you know? Now, I'm going to tell you this as an animal communicator.
Okay, good.
You know, animals communicate with pictures, and they get the pictures
right?
from what we're thinking in our mind. It's mind to mind. It's telepathy.
It's actually, and so, you're right. And so, trying to get to is intention. They
right.
read our intention.
Right.
Even if we don't have the amazing talents that you have.
You don't have to. We all have it. It's not, I don't have anything special. We all have it. I just have honed mine a little bit more.
Exactly. Well said. And so they read our intention. So when I get an animal that doesn't really want to necessarily is not sure about what's going to happen. If I really make sure that I send them my intention,
mm-hmm.
I can provide them with a lot of comfort. You know, and that's something I've been able to pass on here at the vet office. When we, you know, have to go draw blood or take x-rays, you know, this animal doesn't know that we're trying to do something good for them, right? They're in the moment. This doesn't seem right, you know.
Yeah.
Sticking a needle on my neck. But to go to that with the intention of, I'm helping you. I'm not doing something to you. I'm doing something for you. It changes them drastically.
Absolutely. And another thing, Joe, if you haven't run into it before, animals want to know everything. So,
yes.
You know, you have this, you may send them this attention, but also, you know, I think it works well to tell them exactly what you're doing. They don't like surprises.
Yeah.
You know, so, and we wouldn't either. Like, if somebody just, like, took us in the back and didn't tell us what we were doing and then stuck mm-hmm. a needles in us, you mm-hmm. know, we would be, like, freaked out. So they just want to know what's going on. So I always tell people, make sure you tell them as much as you can. You know, like, when we go to the vet, I always say where we're going. I don't try to, like, you know, hide it. It's like, you can't hide it. Believe
right. me. They see the image in your mind.
Oh, yeah. They know exactly when you say, come on. They know exactly what's going on. So you just tell them, you know, we're going to the vet. We're going to see Dr. Hunt. This is what we're going to do today. And we're going to get, you know, some blood work. So you'll go back and they're just going to draw a little blood and mommy will be
yeah.
waiting for you. I always tell them, I'll be waiting for you.
Yeah.
And you come
huge.
Back.
Great.
And then we go home.
Yep. And it helps them a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, give them the whole rundown of what's going to happen. And I, you know, I'm sure that you're doing that as part of your intention because that's just you, Joe. I know that's like, you know, you just do that without having to think about it.
Well, I try. My biggest thing for me, and, you know, I'm evolving. I'm ready to keep growing.
Yeah, we all are. Good
so,
for you.
Yeah, and so I'm looking forward to learning from you as well. But I try to go to a place of holding what I call holding space for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and creating a place for them to come into that's for them, that they can, that their bodies can heal and do what it needs to do in a very non-threatening, you know, open way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the same thing goes for people.
Yes, it does.
You know, and I
you
love
know,
that.
And that's another thing, Jackie, that I just want to throw out there really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
With the healing touch, you know, like I said, any of the classes that you take, you learn so much about yourself and how, you know, when you come across, like, a person or even an animal that's, you know, maybe not the kindest or doesn't see eye to eye, whatever, you can just, you know, just send your love to them, just say, you know, open space for them, and you know, for their highest good, and that's all you need to do.
Right. Sometimes people just need that little bit of space.
Yeah.
Because some people are always thinking they're being judged.
Right.
And that attitude almost draws that to them because, you know, what you think about comes about.
Exactly. That's for sure.
You know, so there they are drawing that to them. But, you know, Joe, you're working with animals, but if you're working with animals, you're also working with their humans. So you have to work both sides, don't you?
You do. And, you know, one of I get a lot of clients that say, oh, I wish you worked on people. And, you know, I feel like I do help the people through the animals because I'm of the belief the animals are here for us. They're our greatest teachers. You know, they're here to help make mankind better. They're here to open our hearts and make us better people. And if I can help bridge a relationship with the animal and the owner, or I can help make the animal feel better or help the person see that the animal's mirroring their, you know, what they need to work on, I am helping people, you know. If I'm helping our animal kingdom, then I'm helping mankind.
Yeah, absolutely. and because because our animals often take on things from us.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's part of, I'm sure, what you're doing, too, because I would imagine you almost have to read the person, you know, their person to sort of figure out if there's some sort of, you know, ailment or condition that they're sort of sharing.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because sometimes animals, because there's so much, or we're so much in their energy field because it's so much bigger than ours, you know, they sort of start to take on some of the things that we're dealing with, don't they?
They sure will. You know, they will definitely take on your problems. If they can't figure out how to get you to see your way, they'll think that they can absorb it from you and make it better. And we don't want that.
No,
nobody wants that.
You know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, you know, who, you know, is privy to that, but and also says the same thing. I always look at my dogs because it's like never fails. Whatever I'm dealing with, next thing you know, something comes up with them. And what's so funny, I always say, is you don't have to do that for mommy, because I will do more research and you look into something much more when it's their problem. And I always say, are you doing that just for me?
Exactly. Yep. And that's, you know, we talk about that a good bit in Healing Touch for Animals. And that's the big key is, you know, basically, like you were mentioning before about, you know, telling your pet what's going on, you know. Say, hey, I just need you here to be my companion and support me. Your job is not to take on my problems or take this burden for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because animals, I mean, that's what they do for us. They are so here for us.
Absolutely.
And all of them, you know, dogs,
they
cats, horses, birds. I mean, you can use Healing Touch. It's not just dogs, cats, and horses. It's all animal beings.
It is. And, you know, I decided to do the certification for the Healing Touch for Animals. You don't have to do that. But that I want to do that, and I'm so glad I did, because Carol Commoner, the way she had it set up, the experiences that I came across in doing the certification are things that I would not have done on my own. And one of the things is, out of the 50 treatment plans that you have to submit, 3 of them have to be different species. So it can't be cat, dog, horse, human. And so I did a, let's see, what did I do? I did a goat, a ferret, and then I knew my third one, I wanted it to be wildlife.
Oh.
And I had this idea that it would be, I would come across, which has happened in the past, it happens to a lot of us, I would come across an injured, you know, wildlife, you know, an animal mm-hmm. that would need my help, whether it got hit by a car or, you know, something, or sick. So I just thought I would stumble across this. But it ended up being a red-tailed hawk that parked itself out on my fence post. You know, in the 13 years that I've lived here, I've seen the hawks. You know, they're quite numerous in our area. And this guy made it really known. And it was pouring down rain, and he sat on that fence post while I projected healing energy to him. And it was the most incredible experience. And it was a 60-minute session.
Wow.
And he would...
He sat there for 60 minutes.
He would get off the post for a few minutes, go to the ground, and then he'd hop up on another post. He never left. And he just... It was pouring down rain. And I've not witnessed a hawk on any of my fence posts. I'm sure they do it. But it was just a really amazing experience, and one I'm very grateful for.
And I love that you mentioned that this was using the distance healing, because if you're going to play around with wildlife, you don't want to try to walk up to a hawk and put your hands on it.
Exactly. Now, in this case, I could see him. So it's what we call projecting the energy. Sometimes I have to do that if I... particularly have a dog, if I'm working with an aggressive dog,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming to me to see if we can help mellow, you know, or at least, you know, help
right.
him with his training, because it's not always, you know, it's just not one thing. I think everything's synergistic, and animals need training and healing and, you know,
right.
all of that to get where they need to be when they're in those situations. So if I get an aggressive dog, I have to stay safe, just like you said, and keep the dog from feeling threatened. And so I'll be in the room with them, but I project it across the room.
Oh, I love that you said that, because it's so true. There are ways to address animals that have difficulties like that without putting them in a situation that makes them more anxious.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, and I say aggressive dog, but there's been dogs that are just timid, that are just like, you know, oh my goodness, you know, you're a stranger. You know, and it's like, that's fine. You can sit over there by mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be over here. And it's really funny because, well, not funny, but, you know, all of a sudden the animal's laid out, asleep.
I'm sure the person's thinking, oh, I don't know what's going on here. But, you know, I'm saying if they're that relaxed that they could actually fall asleep, then you know that it's working at a deep level.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty magical. And like what you said about, you know, anybody can do it with the animal communication, it's the same thing with the healing touch, you know, with the energy where you just, you know, need to get a little bit of information. You know, when I took the level one class and started, I was getting results, you know.
Yeah.
Just with level one.
Right. You just, you, like, once you find out how you can do these things and you start playing with it, you'll be amazed.
Yep.
You know, because that's how it works. It's so incredible. So, you know, sorry, I'm keep my throat's got this little frog in it.
I know. It's
time of year. So I know, tell us a little bit about the tuning forks, because that the sound healing really fascinates me. And Carol Commoner wasn't doing that. She was coming into the tuning forks when I was taking the class.
Sure. Oh, my gosh, the tuning forks. So I have two types. I have one type that I use mainly for space clearing, and it also, they use together, they clear the energy field. So basically, it's, and you know, I'm not a musical person, so for any of the people out there that are musically inclined, please forgive me for my ignorance of all these things, but they're pair five tuning forks.
And pair five means?
Pair five, okay, gosh, I'm going to have to dig back here. I believe there's, what, 13? Notes. These are the two in the middle.
Okay.
So when they are together, when they are, well, in this case, chimed together, they create the pair five note, which is, I'm failing at this. I know
what it is, too, and I can't come up with it either.
Yeah, but basically, with that and with the other tuning forks that I use, which are the Ohm forks, they resonate with, the belief is that it resonates with the cerebral fluid in our bodies, and it helps to get it to flow and move. And so...
And cerebral fluid meaning the fluid in our brains.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, pretty important stuff. So... the other thing that it does is, especially with the, like, before I got on the phone with you, I did a clearing of my room. Before I do techniques, I usually clear my room. I do a clearing on myself. It just helps bring my vibration up in the area. So
yeah, I like that. Now, is that the pair five forks
that's
that you...
That's the pair five.
That oh, so for the
that.
Clearing.
Yeah, and...
And then the Ohm forks are used more for healing?
The Ohm fork is used a lot for the sound therapy. So, again, it is a way to get... the only way I can explain using it... So, with the Ohm tuner, you can do the sound therapy, which you chime the... or activate, I guess you would say, the fork...
Which means you just think of it as you just strike it so it makes noise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
For us lay people.
Yeah, and you strike it, and then you hold it up by the ears in a particular sequence. And it is when you watch an animal, or I've done it on several of my friends' family, they just get this look on their face like, of relaxation. It just takes you to this place that's so lovely. And the Ohm tuner, the middle fork of the three that you use for, you know, like sound therapy, you can actually use on the body. And I probably use that one the most. That tuning fork, you can use it on the chakras to help get the chakras kind of, let's say, jump started.
Yeah, like spinning again vibration. The way they're supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can take it off once you do all the chakras. If there is a part of the body that is hurting, you know, if there's an achy joint or a muscle, I've used it for trigger points when I do a massage. works great for that. It's just amazing, the difference. I've used it on my husband several times, and he's probably one of the biggest skeptics, and he'll wake up the next morning and goes, I don't know what it is, but it sure does feel better.
So. You're like, yeah, hula. So yeah. So the pair five, so how many forks are in the pair five?
So the pair five, there's two forks.
There's two forks, and the ohm is just one?
The ohm is one, and then they also, with the ohm fork, when you do the sound therapy, there's a lower and higher frequency fork that goes along with them to do sound therapy.
Okay, so there's a third, another fork that's not part of the pair five or the ohm. It's a separate fork?
So ohm fork is part of the set of three.
Okay.
But when you use the ohm tuner, which is the middle one of the three, when you use that one, the one that resonates the most with the body, that's the only one you use on the body, and you use it by itself on the body.
Okay. So it's just interesting, you know, because we've had other people come on and talk about sound therapy with people and color therapy. So it's I like that, you know, you actually can just use a tuning fork. I mean, that's such an easy way to get the sound.
Yeah. It's really easy. The pair five, that is what they use in a lot of the relaxation and healing music, I'm told, that note, that interval or what have you.
Yeah.
Because of that healing capability that it has.
Oh, that's wild.
That resonation with the body. And the sound therapy also, as I recall, is a great technique to help with homeostasis, which is the body's way of regulating itself. It's sort of like, you know, how the body knows to keep itself at 98.6 degrees to preserve our organs and blood.
Yeah, so just bring everything back into check.
Yeah, yep. It helps the body stay in homeostasis.
It's interesting. I mean, and these are simple things that anybody can learn to do. And that's what I love about this, Joe. And that's what I love about being able to talk about this on the show, because these are things that we all can do to make ourselves feel better, and our animal loved ones, and our husbands.
It's so true.
And yeah, I love that.
And, you know, then the big topper of what I feel like took my work from, you know, from a 10 to a 20 is the essential oils.
You're right. Well, you know what? I'm going to hold off on the essential oils because, believe it or not, we're down to about 2 minutes. And, Joe, I want you to have the time to tell people where they can find out more about you and how they could come see you or get you on the phone or give us some contact information.
Sure. So I don't have a website yet. It is on my goal board, my vision board for this year. I better get going, huh? We're coming out of time. But I'm on Facebook as Free Rein Animal Massage.
Free Rein as in, and
Free Rein,
spell that, please, for everybody.
F-R-E-E, and then Rein as in the reins of
a horse.
With a horse, yep. R-E-I-N-S, Animal Massage. And my email is jojogrigsby@gmail.com. You can email me if you have any questions.
Wonderful.
And then the healingtouchforanimals.com website is out there if you want to start finding out where a class is close to you.
Yeah. Joe, do you teach any classes? Are you certified to teach classes or not at that point?
I'm not at this point, but, you know, I'm open to anything, and it may come along in my journey.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful, because the more it can get out there, the better, because it's such an easy thing we all can use. I love it.
It sure is. Thank you for letting me talk about it. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm just so glad you could come on, because it just took me back to my time with Carol Commodore and the classes that I took and the wonderful people that I met. And like I said, it's like I still would share some of those techniques when I would do animal communication for people. You know, I'd say, I don't know the official name for this, but this is how you do this. It's like raking the energy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, because it's made such an impact for my animals, and I know it's so effective and it's so easy. So I try to share it too in the best way that I can. So I'm so glad that you could come on, and maybe you could come back and we can talk some more, and we can even bring up the essential oils.
I would love that.
Wonderful. All right, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Jackie.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, I just remind you all that tune in for my next show, which, remember, it's the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. So our next show will be October 24th. And also, if you need to get a hold of me or would like to get a hold of me, you can call my office. I am also a certified psychic medium and an animal communicator, and my office number is 717-968-5289. So sending you sunshine and smiles until our next show on October 24th. Enjoy every day and be a blessing to others.